we're going to talk about today adultery. Not adultery. We've talked enough about that. You ought to be clear on that by now. We've hit that section in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, watch it! And now we're talking about things that distract us from what we could be with Christ. That's what idols are. Things that distract us from what we could be in Christ. So let's pray, and then we're going to just move into this message. And I pray that God will lift you up. Veterans, once again, I want to extend a thanks for your service to this country. And there are people in other countries that have served and sacrificed. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? Our first mission is we wish everybody could be at peace. That's our first mission. Unfortunately, Pastor Mark, unfortunately, because there's a lot of people that refuse the way of God, refuse the way of Jesus Christ. When you refuse the way of Jesus Christ, that leads to hate and discourse and selfish ambitions. You push that long enough, you're at war. And so I thank, especially just all the different conflicts we've had to be in. Sometimes people go, well, Pastor Ayers, how can you support a veteran and be a peaceful Christian? I say, well, I don't know if you've ever read any history. I know it's slimly taught in today's times. But we would not have this nation. It was started from a revolutionary war. It was not started from a kumbaya meeting where we all got together and had a debate. And finally we said, you know what, well, we had enough and we're going to be free. And I hate that. I hate that we have to move that. I wish we could sit down and talk it out. I wish we could just have one big football game to settle all of our conflicts. But that's not what happens. And Jesus said this, there will always be wars and there will always be rumors of war until he finally brings us to absolute God consciousness. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the men and women that have served. I thank you for those who serve like Doris and Jim Britt, who have given their lives to kingdom work all their lives. And Lord, we just pray that your presence be upon her right now as she is at the medical center. And Lord, we give thanks for Tony and Sonia. And Lord, in spite of a stroke, that he's getting well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for others in our congregation that have faced medical crises this week, have faced things they thought they would never have to face. And Lord, most of all, we thank you that your grace is always here. And your grace is here whether we recognize it or not. And Lord, we thank you for your grace extending to James and Lisa and thousands of people in Bowling Green through this church, Lord. And we pray today that you would open our eyes to just live out our faith as you have made us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Once again, you all aren't going to be surprised about this at the 8 o'clock service, but it is about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to get that grace into the world. Anybody say that might be a good idea? It might be a good idea. This message. Now, for those of you that believe, I'm pleading with you this morning. The world needs you. The world needs you. For those of you that want to ignore and just hope that everything's going to be all right and we can disregard all God's principles and somehow or another lead with a blessing, it's not going to happen that way. We got some serious things going on, okay? We've learned some things. How many of you realize the only thing you can absolutely trust is God? And we got some surprised people in our world today. We got some surprised people. They thought the government was going to take care of them and bless their hearts. They've never read history. And they from all times, you and I can't take care of each other like God can take care of us. Does that make sense? And so here's what I want you to know. The church needs to be a caring place. And one of the reasons we see so many people over the last year, 100 years, turning to the government and other organizations, because guess what? You and I haven't done the best job possible being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is screaming to the folks at 1 Corinthians in Corinth, be who God's made you to be and watch your distractions. Let's start there. Watch your distractions. He said, now, brothers, I want you to know as you're on this journey, you can be distracted. How many of y'all have ever been distracted? How many of y'all have ever been distracted before? How many of y'all have ever sat in school and they were teaching algebra and you were thinking about something else? Distraction. How many of y'all have ever been at 8 o'clock service and the preacher was preaching and you were thinking about something else? That's what I'm talking about, distractions. How many of you all, the worship was going on and you were looking at what somebody had on instead of what they were singing? Any of y'all ever had that situation happen to you before? How many of y'all have ever gone to church and looked around more than looking toward God? How many of y'all have ever had that situation go on? You ought to preach. Back in the older days, I had to preach. Remember when toupees were like really in? People used to wear them before we got, you know, just bold enough to say, hey, it's happening. Lord, praise God, you made me this way. See, so you might remember a little bit in that day. I used to preach in a church, and one of our older deacons could never get his toupee straight. And sometimes I'd get distracted. I'd stand up, and his line would be at a different angle every week. And I kind of, back then, you had to preach up on the stage because they thought that's where God lived. And it was even worse when pastors, remember when we used to have to sit in those throne-looking chairs? And I hated that. Everybody was staring at you, and you were staring at everybody. And that's why when I came and preached, I got rid of all those chairs, because as I studied the Scripture, we're not in a hierarchy. Jesus is our Lord, and the rest of us are strugglers. And I'm just like you. There's nobody lording over us, but we better connect to the Lord of Christ. Amen? And so we can get distracted pretty easily. How many of y'all have been going after something good and ended up in something not so good because along the way you got distracted? And that's one of the things the devil wants to do, keep us away from what God could do. Keep us away from what God could do. So I'm going to ask you today, in your private time with God, as you worship on this Sabbath day, this holy day, I want you to pray throughout today, God, I need you to show me part of my potential with you. And be confident in that. Because sometimes what we miss out on, listen, I know, even I've done it, I bet you've done it. How many of y'all have ever just said, good enough's enough? That's good enough. That's good enough. And God saying, no, I want you to be everything I made you to be. Look what he said. Now, first verse of the 10th chapter. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses, the cloud, and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, I want to talk about some principles here. Paul's going back, and he's grabbing the history of God's people. Now, the first thing we need to see about God is that God releases us from slavery. You remember the children of Egypt? They are bound for 435-something years under the oppression of Egypt. Okay? So if you think we've had slavery in America, go talk to the Jews who alone in Egypt doubled the slavery in America. Time spent in slavery. In fact, if you've ever been to Egypt and you've seen those big pyramids, guess what? Slave labor. Hebrews, God's people, built... things that were not of God because they had placed themselves under slavery. You know how that happened? They forgot where God had taken them and submitted to Pharaoh's activity. And guess what Pharaoh eventually did? Put them in slavery. That's just what Pharaohs do. Pharaoh's enslaved, God releases. Y'all see the rhythm? Give me a head nod if you got that rhythm so I can move on. Now, if you remember, Paul's saying, you remember the story. You remember the story. He said, do you remember? They were baptized into Moses. They followed Moses. And where who was Moses following? Somebody tell me, who was Moses following? Moses was following God because Moses was sent by God, because Moses was following God, because Moses was part of God's activity. He led them out of Egypt across the Red Sea and into a promise. Does that sound familiar? Let me show you, God never changes his mind. You and I are trapped in sin. Bondage. God sends the new Moses, Jesus, that we might be forgiven and released of our sins so we can cross out of death into life and now live out the what? Promise. How many of y'all realize you're people of promise? Okay, I got to preach just a little bit. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor or somebody you don't even know and go, you got a promise. Come on, you got a promise. Now, David, I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot, and this is strictly hypothetical, okay? But if you promised me at the end of the week that I was going to receive one of those new Corvettes y'all have made, you'd be unemployed, but I'd be happy on Friday, baby, let me tell you. You see what I'm saying? Guess what I would be looking forward to all week long if David said, hey, Ayers, I tell you what, I got this deal. They're running a Reverend package on these Corvettes. And in fact, we got a new color. It's called Reverend Red. And I'm going to put the biggest motor we got in there, that supercharged, whichever, Claypool, you know what I mean? It's got turbos on it and everything else. I'm not going to use this illustration in the next service because the sheriff attends the next service. And Dave came to me and said, listen, I want to promise you that on Friday at about 1 o'clock, you're going to receive that. Now, let me ask you a question. If you got the same deal, okay, David's going to give you the same deal as Corvette Brown, what would y'all be thinking about on Monday? Okay, I'm just checking. And on Tuesday when you wake up, what would you be thinking about? What about on Wednesday, on hump day, what would you be thinking about? You wouldn't even see that camel, would you? And then what about Thursday? Mark, what would you be thinking about? Hey, it's Reverend Red, Mark. What would you be thinking about? In fact, Mark, even though you've never been known as a man of many moves, or at least fluid moves, would you agree with that? But I've seen you jump. I've seen you jump. Mark, if David called you and said on Friday we're going to give you a Reverend Red Corvette on Monday, what would you do on Monday? Would you be excited in the office? He said he'd be Corvette plant. Would you jump up and down? Absolutely. Now, hold on. As nice as that new Corvette is, what's going to happen to it? 20 years from now, what will they call it? A relic. Old. Technology outdated. You know, 20 years from now, you just look at your car and say, drive me, and it can feel where you're supposed to go. I've already met, cars messing with me now. We have cars that talk to you. That used to be on TV called Kit. Y'all remember that? Hazelhoff talking to his car. And now that's the reality here. Car talks to you. Tells you where to go. It's always a woman's voice. And they don't cuss you yet. I hadn't had my car cuss me yet. Isn't it interesting? It's always polite. Yeah, but cars talk to us. They didn't used to talk to us. That promise you would take for absolutely you take it to the bank. Why? Because David told you. And he runs the what? Now think about this. We have a promise from a God that created the world. And how many of us ignore the promise? We have a promise from the God that made everything. And we get caught up in limited conversation and forget about permanent promises. I don't know about y'all, but I can't watch TV without the promise of God. Every news article I read, I would right now be on some kind of severe medication if I didn't have a God, because guess what I'm watching? I'm watching everything we think unravel. Now, I'm not surprised because I've studied a lot of history, and I've already known what we think doesn't work real well. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? Now, I know some of you young people aren't there yet. That's okay. I wasn't there when I was young either. I thought we could think ourselves to a better life. Any of y'all ever had that deal? I thought thinking, because they taught me the little story when I was a kid about the choo-choo train. Don't y'all remember that one? You know, when he had some big old heavy cars behind him and he didn't have much horsepower with him. And he went, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And he choo-chooed him little self right up over the hill. Let me tell you what that is. A story. And it doesn't work. I can't think myself into heaven. I can't think myself into the promise of God. I can't think myself into a permanent better life. What I have found, the best I can do is temporarily con myself for the day. But only God can give me a promise that will work forever. Now, isn't that what the children of Israel had? They said, I'm giving you a place. I'm giving you a promised land. I'm going to make you a people. And no matter what, that promise is going to come through. I want you to know, look at this. That promise is coming through. That promise is coming through. For 1,900 years, the people of Israel wandered through every country that had been established. And in 1948, after a severe war, in World War II, the people of Israel went back to parts of the land that was the promise of God. Now, doesn't that amaze you? In modern history, we're still watching the hand of God thread through his truth. Now, I want you to be secure about something today. God's people will be sustained in spite of what everybody else says. Anybody believe that? And so we better rephrase ourselves and we better get into Jesus' care. Who's going to care for you? Jesus is. Who's going to sustain us? Jesus is. Who's going to heal us? Jesus is. Who's going to make us new? Jesus is. Who's got a promise that's guaranteed? You know what I like about Jesus? He doesn't have a Senate. He doesn't have a Congress. And he doesn't have Michelle. He got it all taken care of in who he is. You see, when you are the Son of God, when you are the message of God, when you are the promise of God, what you say is. Now, I want you to get this idolatry thing. Idolatry, idols, are when we turn away from what God has said. When we turn away from what God has said, we limit our life. How many of y'all understand that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? When we turn away from what God says, we limit our life, no matter how many people agree that what God said isn't true, it will stay true. How many of y'all that far along? See, God's not into democracy. We're into democracy. That's where we're con-jobbed. We are conned. Just because American people by a majority believe that a sinful lifestyle is no longer a sinful lifestyle, that does not change the results of that sinful lifestyle. Cultural normatives do not affect God either way. His promise comes true no matter what. Isn't that amazing? And man, we're seeing this in Corinth. Now look what happens. Remember, they ate of the same food. They drank of the same cup. They were in the cloud of God. As long as they stayed with God, what'd they do? They went right through that desert like they were supposed to. But a lot of them died. You know why? They stepped out of God's protection. And this morning, I wanted to warn us, let's not step out of God's protection. Let's not step out of God's protection. Let's stay in God's grace. Let's live in God's mercy. Let's know that God's promise is going to come through. You say, well, Pastor, I can't see it. Here's what we don't understand about God. God is permanent, and we tend to move. Carruthers, we get all caught up in immediate. I made some bad decisions, brother, because I went immediate instead of waiting on God. Any of y'all ever done that? You didn't wait on the Lord? You married her anyway. And the whole time you said, I wonder if this is God's will, and God's doing this. No! You're going, Lord, I can't hear you. See, sometimes we disobey God and expect the blessing of God's promise in the midst of our disobedience. Man, that's hard to gather. We got to be careful. Now, does God use us? Absolutely. Did he use Moses? Absolutely. Does he use us? Absolutely. I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful to not turn away from what God has put in your life. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us grace. He's given us new life. He's given us importance. He said, remember the people. Remember the saints. Or do you not know that the saints, remember what he told us. Don't you know that it's the saints who judge the world, not the world? Remember that? Remember that sermon? The people of God will join with God to do what? Judge the world. Now look at this. He reminds them. These things, look at verse 6. Now, these things took place as an example for who? For us. That we might not desire evil as they did. Let me give you three things that evil always does. First, it always questions what God says. Secondly, it always makes you the hero of the situation. You're always the centerpiece. And third, evil never delivers. How many of y'all find that evil never delivers? And we got to look at our daughter. We are a society plagued by idols and images. True? And how many of y'all found some pain in the idols and the images? Ladies, I always feel for you. I really do. Because you know what? There's some crazy things in this world. Look at all the images that have been placed on ladies to look a certain way in the past 50 years. You know, crazy. And ladies, watch this. Where did they get the images in the magazine? Anybody know? It's Photoshop. Nobody looks like that. Isn't it amazing on a magazine, nobody's got a pimple? But in reality, everybody's got a pimple somewhere. Amen? You just don't want to tell somebody where it is. Everybody's got something. Every one of us have a flaw. And here's what idols do. They try to create flawlessness without God. They promise things that don't last. Now let's look at verse 6. Now these things took place as an example for us that we might desire evil as they did. Do not be adulterers as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. One of the greatest idols that we have in our culture is what? Play. Play. One of the things we value in our culture is entertainment. True? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but go check your personal budget. How many of y'all spend more on entertainment than you do ensuring the promises of God on this earth? Hey, well, Pastor, I didn't think that's part of it. I thought I was doing pretty good. I give God an hour of my week. We've come to Hillview an hour and a half. I pay attention to God for an hour and a half. I mean, do we really believe that paying attention to God for an hour and a half out of 7 days a week is what God's called us to do? No, God's called us to be his people every day of the week. Look what he said. Now, we got to be careful. They rose up and did what? Played. So I want to play with the play. As you live out your life, instead of playing, let God play through you. How many of y'all need to let God play through you? But we tend to want to what? Play. How many of y'all remember being in kindergarten, elementary school? And I don't know about you, but guess what my favorite time was? Playtime. I love playtime. Miss Sue, I know that you taught school back in those days. And you know what? I would have rather had recess than math class. I'm just being honest with you. I would have rather had recess in English class. I would have rather had recess in history class. How many of you all, though, found out if all you do is have recess, what happens to you? What do you end up with, say, at 18, if all you've done is play? Well, what happens to your abilities? You've not utilized them. It's not that you don't have them. It's that you don't know how to engage them. The power and importance of education. But if you play, in fact, I don't know why teachers said this, but Merle, you may have heard this over in Cumberland County too. They would accuse me of playing around all the time. All you do is play around, Ayers. And guess what? When I come into Christ, guess what God desires to do? He desires to play his promise through me. And he desires to play his promise through you. Isn't that neat? And he desires that he would be in you and come out of you so that the world might see the promise of God. So I want to encourage you. We need to continue to be promised people. And we need to encourage and we need to do the good things of God. But we need to realize we're on a permanent promise and this is a temporary journey. Just giving you some heads up. Now, this is for the people of God. If you're not going to be the people of God, if you're going to refuse the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I tell you this, get all you can get down here because you're as close to heaven as you can ever be. So I would party and I would play and I'd do everything you could do because guess what awaits you? It's your death. A hell of separation that you can never get out of. Now, that's just reality. Now, you can philosophically disagree with that. You can intellectually argue that. You can say, because I don't believe that, it's not going to be. But once again, you're participating in evil. That's not what God said. You put your intellect at the center of the universe, and guess what you'll find on the day of judgment? What you believe won't hold up. What God says holds up on the last day. Isn't that amazing? And what God says holds up in this day. He goes on and he tells us, we must not put Christ to the test. Let me back up. Let me show you what they did. We must not indulge in sexual immorality. How many of y'all been pretty clear that this sexual immorality thing might be a problem? Let's talk about it a minute. Is this a consistent problem? Does the Bible talk a lot about sexual immorality? It doesn't say anything about smoking cigarettes, but it says everything about sexual immorality. It doesn't say all these other things I've heard preached. But when it gets to sexual immorality, what does it talk about? Watch this. Why? Because God's a prude? No. This will distract you quicker than anything from God. What got the children? And listen, it's nothing new. This is not new fashion. This is not progressive behavior. The children of Israel did it in the ancient society. They went back to what stimulated them instead of allowing God to lead them. That's the problem. And he goes on. Look what he said. We must not put Christ to the test. Oh, by the way, if you don't think sexual immorality is dangerous, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. Y'all remember that, don't you? It's the story of when Moses goes up. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. I'll give you the real quick version. And when Moses comes down the hill, the people are not waiting to hear what God says. They have built a golden calf. They are participating in spring break Egypt. I'm talking, hey, listen, JD, I'm telling you, what was going on? What was going on under that golden calf would make MTV blush. Because what are they doing? They are worshiping false gods. Now, he's giving us a warning here. Be careful. Don't surrender to the false gods. Now, he didn't say bash them. He didn't say take all the idols down. He didn't say burn the city. He said don't surrender to them. Stay with your God in the midst of false gods. That's the way you show God. You understand what I'm talking about? Do what many have done in the Scripture. Daniel said, can't bow down to the false God, but I can show you how to live with the God. I wish the church had more of that attitude. Amen? Let's not bash folks. Let's just live out the promises of God in front of folks. And when people say, well, I can't believe you don't do that, I say, well, I'm under a promise. God's given me a promise, and his way I have found is better than my way. How many of you all have found that his way is better than your way? How many of y'all that far along? What God says works better than what I think. Anybody that far along? Now, that doesn't void what I think, because sometimes what I think is what God has said. How many of y'all get that every once in a while? That really works out good, doesn't it, Sue? That what I'm thinking is what God said. He's integrating into my life. That's when it gets good. Well, he said, be warned here. Paul's warning them. He's warning them that, listen, after a while, living away from Christ has consequence. Let's look at what happens. They got up, 23,000 died because they turned against God to false gods. And he warns them. You say, well, why did this happen? Why does God talk about the children of Israel? Well, it's to remind us, don't turn away. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Nothing new under the sun, is it, Karen? Here's poor Moses, Bob, poor Moses, Pastor Moses, got his congregation out there in the desert, and they start grumbling. Freddie, I'm glad that's never happened at Hillview. You know how many times I've heard in 32 years of ministry, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. I can't count the thousands. So for you children and young people in here, I'm going to tell you, you better hear what God said and not what people are saying. Man, that's powerful. Pastor Jeff, you hadn't been at it that long, but you've been at it long enough, I guarantee you, to hear this in your ministry. Well, that won't work.
This ain't going to happen. God didn't really say that. Or did God really say that? Yes, God said that. Pastor Mark, how many times at Hillview were we going to go broke because we didn't do something that that person wanted done? Thousands. But I want to tell you what I've learned is this. What God said is ahead of what people observe. I just said a mouthful there. You better get that one. What God said is ahead of what people observe. That's good news. That means heaven. God said there would be a heaven. God said there would be forgiveness. God said he would bring us there. God said Jesus was the Son of God. God said that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And when we go into that, promises of God are revealed in our life. It's amazing. But be careful. Don't turn aside. So today, don't turn away from what God has said. And let's be reminded. To turn away from God is to turn toward death. Y'all see the severity there? You see, God is the source of life. So if we listen to what God says, what happens in our own life experience? Life is brought forth. When we turn over to false gods, here's the promise with false gods. None of them bring life. He said, well, why do we get conned by them so easily? Oh, they bring stimulation. False gods bring stimulation. Think about all the things we get into that's not good for us. Why do we like them? Stimulation. The doctors told me that I don't need to be hoofing down big old steaks all the time. Why do I love hoofing down a big old steak? It tastes good. It tastes good. How many of y'all, what you like good in the moment sometimes will cause you to not do what God wants to do forever? I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. Y'all may not have any struggle with that, but I struggle with that. I can be led astray if I allow my emotions to override God's promise. And we live in a sensual society. We want to what? Feel it. Never forget. What you're experiencing at this moment came from the 60s. What kind of songs were in the 60s? Feelings. Nothing more than what? Puff the Magic Dragon. These are your parents and now your grandparents. Rocket Man. Lucy in the Sky with what? In other words, if we watch this, in the 60s, we became a drug culture. Why? It felt good. Watch this. I want to show you where we are. Now, I just want to show you. We would rather hallucinate than deal with reality. True or false? Have you all found that hallucination is one of our problems? Well, look at our nation today. We said, you know what? Since we're such aggressive, driven people with everybody getting jobs everywhere, and we're just so stressed out by our overachievement that we need to legalize marijuana all over the place to calm people down. I'm being very sarcastic there in case you want to leave here and say, hey, let's smoke one. Why do people like marijuana? I don't know. I've never smoked any marijuana. Why would you like it? I'm taking the guess that it makes you feel a certain way, right? Yeah. I mean, we got people that will take a pill that will mess them up all over the place because their legs twitch. Twitching leg syndrome. I live in a culture that's got time to worry about people's legs twitching medically. I think we probably needed to spend a little more time in some more serious diseases like, you know, leukemia and diabetes. But no, we can take care of your twitching leg. Now you're going to vomit, break out in a rash. Your bone structure will fall apart. Your earlobes will grow in size. But your leg won't twitch. See, we veer away from what God said. How many of y'all have noticed? I'm about done, so listen carefully. Everything we heal has a side effect. Let that sink in. Everything we heal has a side effect. Am I correct, Reverend Reynolds, who studied the great sciences? So, and I'm not saying that we don't need to heal. I'm all for research. Go, 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 go. But just don't put your total faith in that, because that's a temporary deal. I tell all my doctor friends, I said, at best, all your all's work is temporary. Because I've never seen you all fix anybody that can live forever. True or false? The only thing that's permanent is Christ. And sometimes we forget there's something permanent here on earth. Easy to do, because everything's temporary. Now, he said, be careful. You got to decide who you're going to follow. Verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? He's talking about the communion cup. Don't we participate in the blood of Christ, a promise of redemption? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. We're in this together. For we all partake of the one bread. I wonder why God brought the one bread and the one drink back. Remember in Egypt, they ate of what? One bread. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening. They ate of one food. But I want to show you the powerful part there. Who sustained them? God. It's amazing if you go read the scripture for that 40-year journey. God so sustained them. It's an amazing answer. You ought to read this, especially from a medical background. There were no illnesses in that 40 years. Because you see, he who creates you can sustain you. He who redeems you has your best interest. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, why do we have sickness today? We're not in a perfect world. I mean, we got to come to that conclusion. We're not in a perfect world. But we're in an imperfect world with a perfect promise. And we got to allow God's promise to come through. Say, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participating in the altar? In other words, that this altar is important. It's been given to God, and we participate in it. And we end today with this. Be careful what you participate in. Evaluate everything you're going to participate in. Where's the promise of God in it? Hey, how do we move forward in it? Or how do we illustrate the things of God and things we participate in? Because be careful. What do I apply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. And he said, be careful. He said, listen. And you say, well, we don't have demons in our society. Well, you are absolutely out of your mind. Because if you're not following the things of God, you're listening to the lies of hell. See, you can't have it both ways. God is truth, so where does that put the demonic powers? If God is truth, then where does that put the demonic powers? They're lies. Now, if you're a liar, what's the best way to lie? Let's check before we get, because some of y'all get ready to point fingers. Don't point fingers at anybody. How many of y'all have ever told a lie before? If you don't have your hand up, you are the liar in the house. Everybody, has everybody in here lied before? Well, why do we get mad when everybody else lies? One of the things that was a standard in our family, it was very bold in our family, is tell me what you did. Don't lie to me about what you did. Tell me what you did. Now, I wasn't surprised at some of the things my children did. You know why? I knew their parents. But today, are we not in a community of lies? In fact, we are so into the participation of things that are false, we even justify a lie with a lie. How many of you all have even seen people lie when if they told the truth, it would have been better for them? Any of y'all ever seen that deal? What sets us free? The truth. Why do we lie? Because we're under the assumption that what we think can be made perfect, and it's a constant struggle. We get saved when we get to the truth. Truth is, I'm a sinner. The truth is, I'm imperfect. And the truth is, I don't have a promise unless Jesus gives me His. The truth is, I'm going to die and fade away, and the only way for me to live on is in Jesus Christ. He said, be careful what you participate in, because what God has put in you is greater than the table of demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Here's what was going on in Corinth. People were going, they were worshiping in the house of God, and then they were going and worshiping in the house of idols. And they were partaking of the rituals. Now, hold on. The false teacher's worship was a lot more entertaining than Paul's, because they worshiped a lot like they did under the what? Golden calf. We better be very careful what we turn to, because I want to just show you some traps that can happen instantly. It's Jesus is the center of everything. Be careful. It can happen in your faith. Some of us can worship doctrine. Some of us can worship how we say it. Some of us can worship the church we go to. Some of us can worship the energy of worship. It's worshiping Jesus. And anything else is less. When we worship anything else, it's what? Less. So be careful. It's why we need each other. He said, remember, the promise of God is stronger than the temptation of idols. And you know what? God always has a plan and always makes a way. How many of y'all remember this about Jesus? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. Now listen to here. Listen here. This is interesting. I love this. Interesting. You cannot drink what? The cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. So watch this. You can't split your faith. You either have faith or you what? You don't have faith. You can't call yourself a Christian and then do everything that God says don't do and feel okay. I mean, I want you to grab that. That's cheap grace. And you need to understand what cheap grace is. Cheap grace says, I claim the promise of God, but I live outside the promises of God. You see, once the promise of God claims you, that's what I believe. I don't believe we claim the promise. I believe the promise claimed us. Amen. Watch this. I don't even think I can save myself. How about y'all? It was great. I had one of my Jewish friends. I was in a Jewish audience, and this guy stood up, and he was mad. He said, are you here to convert us? I said, no, brother. I said, I can't convert myself. So where does that leave me with you? He sat down. He said, I've never heard it put that way before. Part of it's our language. We got bad language in the church. Got these preachers running around. Well, I won so-and-so to the Lord. I said, you win anybody to the Lord. The Lord brings His own in. He's the shepherd. You're a sheepdog. All you got is the message of His promise. And that's enough for God to bring somebody to His promise. He said, be careful. Now, let's go to the next verse. Verse 22. Look what he said. Verse 22. Put that up here. I want y'all to see this. Shall we provoke? Shall we provoke God? Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? You can see Paul's lawyer coming out, can't you? So, is that our job to say, hey, God, we're going to go over here and do what You told us not to do to see if You still will stay with us? He's trying to tell us that there's consequences. Now, I want you to answer that question because I think it shapes everything in our lives. Are we stronger than God? What do you think? Are we stronger than God? Remember, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak and He is. Man, we forget that when we're adults, don't we? How many of y'all think you're smarter than God? Stronger than God? How many of y'all believe this? We can outvote God. He said, be careful. Temptation lurks. And I just want to tell you today, as a people of God, stay away from the things that won't lead to life. Stay in the things that bring life. His name is Jesus Christ. And look what He says. When temptation comes, guess what? Guess what? God's promise will be there. Verse 21. You cannot participate on both sides of the situation. And so today, shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? No. And next week, guess what we're going to talk about? Living in that that is beneficial. Living in that that is what? Beneficial. Now, how many of y'all need a promise in your life today? Some of you in this room need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. You need to become a part of the promise. Now, second phase question. How many of you, as a part of the promise, are staying with the promise? And guess what, Tony? Promise is challenged when we have a stroke, isn't it? God, where are you? I'm right here, Tony. In fact, Tony, here's the good news. God's not just with you. He's ahead of you. How many of y'all are thankful for that? We don't have a God that's just with us, man. We got a God that's what? Ahead of us. That's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? If I could know the future, I'd never get a speeding ticket. But I don't know the future. But I know who has it. And most of the time, God doesn't let us know the future. Why? Why is that? We try to control it, or what else? How many of us couldn't handle it if we knew the future? What if we were born and God showed us our whole life and said, you have no choice over it? We'd be nuttier than we are now. And God doesn't tell us to worry about the future. Guess what he tells us to do? Embrace the promise today. This is the day. God tells us to live day by day. And really, how do all of us really live? Day by day. I know on your iPhone 5, 6, 7, whatever one you got. I know on your big Samsung widescreen phone. You got all kinds of little plans in there. And you got all kinds of dates already subject to events. But you know what? Today I must do what the Lord's called me to do, because guess what? I don't know tomorrow, but I know who is tomorrow. His name is Jesus. So let us be very careful when we want to step away from what God has said. Has anybody learned anything today? Anybody learned anything today? Talk to me. Anybody learned anything today? All right, today we're coming to the altar. We're coming to the altar. It tells us to participate in the altar of Christ. This is an altar of Christ. And so today, if some of you, for the first time in your life, like James and Lisa, you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Guess what God said he'd do? If you ask for the forgiveness of your sins, guess what God said he would do? How many of y'all are forgiven in here? How many of y'all messed up? How many of y'all have ever done something so stupid you couldn't even believe you did it? How many of you fussed at your children for doing the same stupid things you did at their age? How many of y'all felt hypocritical in the process? But how many of y'all went ahead and preached the truth anyway? Amen! That's what I'm talking about. Elizabeth and I desired that our children be better than us. Didn't we, Elizabeth? Now, they didn't have far to go to get past that. But guess what? They got past that. Amen? One of the things right now that I tell Elizabeth all the time, I'm having a meltdown on, and I just want to give you a heads up to your parents, is Pastor Jeff, I look at Griff and I see this. I get to watch a son that's married that lived in a church filled with the Holy Spirit all of his life. And here's all I can tell you. I didn't know what kind of difference that was going to make, but that's made a tremendous difference in how he views and shapes life. It's easier for him to embrace the promises of God than it was for me, because I just got just as I am in Amazing Grace with two stanzas of just as I am in my growing up, a 20-minute sermon, 3 points in a poem, and let's all put sprinkle moral dust on top of our head and go live for Jesus. He learned that he was a sinner disconnected from God. He learned that the only hope he had in his life was the cross and the resurrection. He learned that the blood of Jesus wasn't a metaphor, but an absolute reality that gets into your life and forgives you of all your sin and sustains you for the rest of your life. He learned that the Holy Spirit wasn't an it, but a he, and was a person and was in him and would drive his life to the promises of God. That's a whole different way of living. Amen? In one of them, you go to church and you become nice. And the other one, you become the church and you proclaim the promises of Christ. Let's keep becoming the church. Amen. So today, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to the promise of God. He promises to forgive you. He promises to love you. And he promises to get you to heaven. And what's this? He's never had a rollout problem. When you log on to God, you never get knocked offline. And he's never raised your premium rates. For those of you all that want everything to be the same, there's only one place, Merle, in my opinion, where everything's the same. Only one place. For all y'all that's your big hip ridestone right now, that everything needs to be the same for everybody, it is. We have all sinned the same. There is one way to heaven, the same. There is only one blood, the same, that came from heaven that recreates all human beings. Some of you will spend the first 1,000 years in hell telling the devil how unfair it was. And you have lived a life doing nothing but proclaiming unfairness, and you have never partaken in promise. You want to see what's unfair? That we've all sinned and God loves us anyway. That's very unfair. I'm all for unfairness. I thank God every day that he's not fair. Because if he was fair, I wouldn't be here. And I got a hunch at least 3 or 4 of y'all wouldn't be here. But God decided to be just. He decided to be merciful. He decided to be redemptive. And he said, in spite of sin, I will come. In spite of disobedience, I will promise. In spite of walking away, I will walk in. Today, let him walk in your life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died. Lord Jesus, I believe you rose again. Lord Jesus, I will partake of your cross and your resurrection in my life. Ask him to forgive you. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been led astray into some things that just aren't working, don't stay there. Is that cool? Listen, you ain't got to stay there. Hillview, we're going to continue to be a church that welcomes sinners and helps saints stay in the promise. Amen. But even as saints, sometimes we may... Listen, I have made stupid decisions in my life as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can do one or two things. I can sit there and focus on my stupid decisions, or I can focus on God's problem and repent of my stupidity and embrace God's truth. Which one you want to do? Or you can form a stupid group, and you can gather the same stupid people around you, and you can feel secure in your stupidity. And you say, because we're all stupid, then God should love us. That's not God's word. God doesn't love us because we're stupid, because he loves us. And his grace is better than our mistakes. So today come. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to encourage you to be baptized because that's what the Word of God says. And so when you do what the Word of God says, the promises of God materialize in your life. And when you don't do what the Word of God says, you don't get the material promises of God. It's amazing. The older I get, and that's happening. How many of y'all are getting older than you used to be? Any of that happen to anybody? Huh? The older I get, did anybody get to see Billy Graham? I'm going to close them. Did anybody get to see Billy Graham's 95th birthday celebration on TV? Man, it was amazing. They're doing reruns of it. Go get it. I thought about all the things that Billy had seen in a lifetime. You know, from the childhood of World War II to the present day, of dealing with, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and the Middle East. Billy said he weeps for America. I understand that. He's watched the people of promise go to the people of illusion. But he's got one thing that works. Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose from the grave. I have a lot of colleagues. They tell me I'm simple. They wish I would get more advanced and I wish I'd get more intellectual. And I've read all their books and I do that. I want to read what they got to say. And you may wonder why I don't bring you all that. Well, because it doesn't work. Does it, Elizabeth? I tried that for a while in my ministry, didn't I? I tried being heady for a while. You know, I read the books. And Jeff, I smoked me a pipe so I'd look more intellectual. It didn't help, but I looked intellectual. And Mark, I could slow down long enough to pronounce all the big words that nobody understood but the few people in that discipline. So you would feel a little bit better about yourself. But I found that displaying yourself in knowledge only also becomes an idol. There's only one way to be saved. Repent, repent, believe, receive, be baptized into Christ, be risen into Christ, and live in Christ. My hope, not just for America, but for the whole wide world, is that Jesus Christ, He is the way and the truth and the life. I'm just telling you the truth. You can disagree. It's okay. Listen, I'm not going to get mad at you. Many people show up on Sunday mornings just to disagree with me. It's okay. I don't freak out about that. I got friends of mine. They fight with me all the time lovingly, not harshly. How many of y'all realize this, that you can disagree and still love people? Yeah, we've totally forgotten that. And I just gently say, we'll see. See, the problem with God is this, it's a we'll see. But I don't know about you, I'm seeing. Bobby, I see every day the people that follow God and what happens in their lives and the people that go against God and what happens in their lives. And I just want to tell you a testimony right now. It's better to be with God. Amen? Well, let's stand. If you hadn't received Him, receive Him. I can't make you be saved, but I can sure tell you it's a better way to live. If you haven't been baptized, come and take care of that. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to repent, come and repent. It's none of the pastor's business. It's you and God's business. Let God heal you. Let God change you. And let God's promise be in you. Stay away from idols. You know why? They don't talk well. They don't last long. And they're not here in the end. All right. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we open this altar up. We ask you that you would bring people to repentance, forgiveness, salvation, baptism. Father, that they would participate in your church. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us, and God, we want you to continue to hold us. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open, and it's free, and it's open, and it's a blessing. And you and I can pray together. We can pray for things of our nation. We can pray for each other. We can pray that we stay in the promise. So I would come and let God delight in us. In the name of Jesus.